Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Brian, thank you very much. Still to come in this next hour, we're going to hear from one mother why a heel prick test at birth to check for spinal muscular atrophy is so critically important. Author Emma Hetherington will be with us and she'll be telling us about living with serious illness and how writing her new book provided an escape. We'll also hear from Dr. Maura Finn about the importance of good sleep, and we'd like some questions for Maura as well. Thank you to those who've sent them in already. Still plenty of time to do so though. 51551 is the text number, or you can WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32. Now, the UK government says it's deeply saddened by Maccabee Tel Aviv's decision not to sell tickets to their fans for next month's trip to Aston Villa. The Israeli club made the move despite still waiting to hear whether a supporter ban, which was imposed by Birmingham Safety Advisory Group, will be overturned. And tensions around that match certainly haven't dissipated. The event has morphed into another front in Britain's culture wars. London correspondent with the Irish Times, Mark Paul, joins me on the line. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, Claire.
Good to have you with us. Now, Maccabee Tel Aviv published this statement on X last night, formerly Twitter, saying that they made the decision not to sell tickets to the fans because they say there's a toxic atmosphere building around the match. Is that how you would characterise it?
There certainly is a toxic atmosphere building, and it's coming from all sides. I mean, down in Westminster, and there's certainly a political view on this match, which is that it should have gone ahead with the Maccabi Tel Aviv fans there, because there are political sensitivities around the safety of Jewish people in Britain, especially after the Manchester synagogue attack recently. But then you also have the background to this, or the context, that Maccabi Tel Aviv is a football club and that does have its own hooligan element and its own fan base. And it was involved in a match last year in Amsterdam where there was widespread trouble around that. And I suppose there were fears amongst the police in Britain that that would be repeated up in Birmingham, West Midlands police. But then you have another element to it, adding to the toxicity, I suppose, is the fact that Birmingham itself is a very, it's a very Muslim city, and almost one third of its population is Muslim. So it's a city where you find a lot of sympathies towards Gaza and Palestinians. And I suppose if you add all of those elements together, you have quite a toxic mix on tension.
Tell us a little bit more about Birmingham, and in particular the area of Aston, where Aston Villa is, because it is a very Muslim part of the UK, isn't it? And in particular, that region.
Yes, I mean the two most Muslim cities in Britain are Bradford and Birmingham, and within Birmingham, Aston, which is just north of the city centre, where Aston Villa Stadium is, Villa Park. I mean, that is actually a majority Muslim area. Now, they're not Arab Muslims like Palestinians. They are mostly South Asians like Pakistanis and Bangladeshis. But if you go to any pro-Palestinian march in London or anywhere else, you will find a large contingent of South Asians take place. I mean, there is really strong feeling about Palestinians in Gaza in those areas. So if you take a match with potentially thousands of Israeli fans coming into an area like that, and fans who within them, they would have their own hooligan element as well, that there was really the potential there for a lot of trouble. And that's why I think the Safety Advisory Group and the police took the decision that they did. But of course, from a political point of view, there's a wider political context around anti-Semitism in Britain. And really, when you add all of these things in, just for some extra sizzle on all of this, I suppose, then you have the hard right elements, and the far right, I suppose, as some people call them in Britain, the likes of supporters of people like Tommy Robinson. And Tommy Robinson was recently pictured in a Maccabi Tel Aviv jersey, encouraging his supporters to go to the match. So add all this together, and there was trouble waiting to happen. And this match is still due to go ahead on November 6th.
Yeah, despite calls from the independent MP, Ayub Khan, and he's a Pakistan-born, British-raised, former Lib Dem, as you write in the Irish Times today. He has called for the match to be cancelled, and he's declaring victory, is he, even though the match is still going ahead, but he's declaring victory because Maccabi have decided not to sell tickets to the fans.
That's right. Ayub Khan is a former Lib Dem. He was elected for the first time as an MP at last summer's election. He walked away from the Lib Dems because he said they were muzzling him on Gaza. So he's very outspoken on that issue. He set up a petition online calling for the game to be cancelled. Now, he cited what he said was Israel's genocide in Gaza. And he also cited Maccabi's hooligan element. Now, he didn't say anything about the fact that Maccabi fans were also attacked by locals in Amsterdam last year as well. But he he has declared victory over all of this, even though what he originally called for was the match to be cancelled. He said the fact that away fans will not now be coming to the match because Maccabi Tel Aviv won't sell tickets, and he's declaring that as some sort of a victory. But I think it's still possible that you will find people at that game in Maccabi Tel Aviv jerseys. You may find you might find supporters of Tommy Robinson. You might find local Jewish people who want to stand up for an Israeli club. You might find you might find Maccabi, you know, Israelis within Britain itself. So it's not entirely clear that there won't be trouble at around this game, because you will have protesters and counter protesters at the game and around the game and in the streets around Birmingham as well, which is probably where most of the safety concerns would be.
And have Aston Villa got involved in this at all? Have they said anything?
Aston Villa have said the sum total of nothing, really. They haven't got involved at all. It wasn't their decision. They were told by the Safety Advisory Group, which issues safety certificates for a game. It's linked to Birmingham City Council. They were told that they couldn't have away fans there. Aston Villa as a club itself hasn't got involved. Maccabi Tel Aviv has obviously issued statements in relation to this. So has the Israeli embassy. So has the Israeli foreign ministry. So has everybody in Westminster, from Keir Starmer to the leader of Liberal Democrats, Ed Davey, Kemi Bates. Even Nigel Farage has gotten involved in this. So everybody has a piece of this. And that's why I think it's just, it is a kind of another front in Britain's culture wars, because the other backdrop to all of this is the very large pro-Palestinian marches that we've seen in Britain over the last year or two. And the police facilitate those, yet they wouldn't facilitate this. And that, I suppose, feeds into this accusation of two-tier policing that a lot of people in the right wing of British politics.
Because am I right in saying, Mark, that when the Safety Advisory Group advised that the match shouldn't go ahead, or that the tickets shouldn't go to the Maccabi fans, that it wasn't until they were backed by the West Midlands police that really this lit a fire under the political end of things?
Yeah, and well, once it was announced that Maccabi Tel Aviv fans would not be allowed at the game, and that was a decision, that was a recommendation by the Safety Advisory Group, but it was backed by West Midlands Police. And of course, the police themselves are accountable to the Home Office in Westminster. So there was immediate pressure put on by the British government, who Keir Starmer said it was the wrong decision. He said that he didn't want anti-Semitism on the streets of Britain. And he dispatched three of his most senior cabinet ministers. He dispatched Steve Reid, he dispatched the Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood, and he dispatched the Cultural Secretary Lisa Nandy. Three cabinet ministers still couldn't get West Midlands Police to change their minds by the time this statement was issued by Maccabi Tel Aviv, saying its fans, he didn't want its fans to go anyway. So there's a lot of political pressure here. It's not just a safety issue and an issue of anti-Semitism on the streets. It's also a political issue of Britain and a culture war issue.
But if West Midlands Police were able to say that they made this decision, or they supported the Safety Advisory Group's decision based on a specific threat, would that help? Have they been able to say that, or willing to say why they made the decision?
They said they made it on specific intelligence. Now, there was a story in The Guardian this morning that seemed to be briefed upon the specifics of that intelligence, which is that they were afraid that an extreme wing of Maccabi Tel Aviv fans would stir up trouble, and then there will be a huge backlash and there'd be trouble all around. So they basically, the police did say it was based on a specific threat. But of course, the response from the government then was that, look, we will give you whatever resources you need. We will draft you and police from all over the country if we need to. But this match needs to go ahead with all of the fans
but
present.
That logic and that explanation doesn't help with accusations of anti-Semitism, does it, Mark?
It doesn't, but I suppose the police and the Safety Advisory Group made their decision based upon an event and the specifics and the operational nature of the event, probably without cause to the wider political context of anti-Semitism. So, look, you can understand why the politicians have gotten involved in that sense, but police, I suppose, make these decisions based on operational matters. And the intelligence that the police seem to have, especially from talking to their counterparts in the Netherlands, was that there was a safety threat here. And, perhaps they should have facilitated, perhaps they should have been more politically aware about how this would be perceived in Westminster. But it just sparked an unholy row, and that row is still continuing. Mm-hmm. And that game is still going to be a risky event on November the 6th.
And, of course, the context of what happened in Manchester earlier this month at the synagogue is playing into all of this. You know, it's a really difficult environment in the UK right now in terms of safety of the Jewish community.
That's right. I mean, of course, two Jewish people died in that attack on October the 2nd. And when a man, a Muslim man, who claimed to be acting in the name of Islam, launched an attack in that synagogue. And that caused real shock. That really shocked Britain to the core, and it shocked its Jewish communities to the core. And you could really feel the fear and the worry in Britain's Jewish communities. And they're also quite worried about the pro-Palestinian marches, even though there has been no violence around those marches. They see them as vectors of anti-Semitism. And that's why there is this wider context and this basically this cauldron of tension around this match.
And how, I mean, I don't know if you've been able to get a handle on how the British Jewish community will respond to the likes of Tommy Robinson coming in behind them and to support them.
The Board of British Jews, which has basically rejected the support of Tommy Robinson, for example, it said that he was no friend of British Jews. And what Tommy Robinson is actually in Israel at the moment as a guest of the Israeli government, of one particular minister in the Israeli government. And he basically says, you know, his Tommy Robinson's response is that British Jews are represented by weaklings, and he has criticised it. So there will be elements within Britain's Jewish community that would reject the support of people like Tommy Robinson, but not all. I mean, you know, if you go to some very Jewish parts of London, like Golders Green, you will see on all of the lampposts flags of St. George and Union Jacks tied to all of the lampposts in much the same way as you would have seen across the north of England all summer at anti-asylum protests. So there are elements within the Jewish community that take the support from wherever they'll get it, and there are elements within the Jewish community, specifically the Board of British Jews, that would reject it. So it's a very, very complicated and fast-moving situation, and not everybody in each ethnic group, shall we say, thinks the same way.
Yeah, it's a really complicated situation, but as you say, it's a microcosm of the culture wars that are happening there right now.
That's right, and it gives everybody a kind of something to say about it. I mean, the fact that Tommy Robinson and his supporters are getting involved says something. The fact that anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian, anti-war protesters are getting involved, that also says something. The government has a political defence that it has to make, and then at the bottom of all of this, or behind all of this, then you have the police trying to make operational decisions. It's a very, very difficult situation for everybody involved. But of course, the safety of the people going to this match has to be paramount, and the safety of the people going to this match is still going to be a concern for people, because of course the match is still going ahead, whether Maccabi Tel Aviv fans go or not, or whether people go in Maccabi Tel Aviv jerseys who aren't Maccabi Tel Aviv fans but go for their own reasons. And this match is still going to go ahead.
Mark, always good to talk to you, and thanks for taking the time to be with us this morning. Mark Paul there from the Irish Times. Dr. Maura Finn, a reminder that she'll be here with us later on taking all of the questions that are coming in about sleep. Still time to get your question into 51551. Next, though, we'll have author Emma Hetherington here with us in the studio.